Hi everyone, I'm Mel and welcome to another Empower with Love radio show. And today I have a Thriver show, another Thriver show. And this is a really pretty incredible show. They all are. They're all amazing. And this is another amazing show on so many levels. And there's a lot we're going to go through here. So what I think I'll do is I'm just going to introduce Val and we're going to get started. So Val, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mel. It's really an honor, actually, to be here.
Well, it's an absolute honor to have you. So, Val, let's kick it off with you sharing your narcissistic experience, if you could, please.
Okay. Yes. I met my ex when I was a graduate student in my early 30s, and it was a very intense moment in life. I had just moved across country to attend graduate school, and it was a vulnerable time. Most of my family had died recently due to illness or injury, and I had lost a career in a sport I love due to being in a very bad accident. So I was starting over in life and planning a new career. We met ballroom dancing. He was tall, handsome, and charismatic. He had a resonant voice and a pair of sparkling eyes. I remember strong arms holding me when we used to spin around the dance floor, and the smell of leather from his jacket and faded jeans he wore. He was kind and gentle and strong all at once. He was also brilliantly intelligent and worked as an engineer. He was ex-military and a student of the martial arts. And he was the best dancer I had met at that time. He was soft-spoken, but not a pushover. So I was completely dazzled.
Yeah, understandably.
I know. In hindsight, there were red flags, but I only saw the paragon. I ignored or was completely oblivious to storm warnings. And all the classic stuff happened. You know, your term, love bombing. He completely charmed my friends and colleagues, and my remaining family practically pushed me into his arms when they heard he wanted to get married. There were red flags I missed, rushing the relationship into an early engagement. He wanted to marry after we had been dating only a couple months. I put the brakes on, sort of. We compromised by getting engaged. I didn't even know that was a red flag. I just thought it meant he really cared about me and was being decisive. Little by little, I gave up certain things I really loved. For example, I loved dancing, especially to blues in bars. But he was uncomfortable with being in bars with me, so I stopped going. I also didn't see how dysfunctional his family was or how that might affect us as a couple. There were early signs of controlling behavior, which I completely misinterpreted. The most glaring warning I missed was this. I knew we did not have the kind of connection I wanted, that I had seen between my parents. I was actually aware my ex had a concrete bunker around his spirit and soul, but I told myself everything else was good and that a deeper understanding would grow over time. And I had seen my parents grow closer year by year. And honestly, that was my whole model. I didn't know anything else. So we married the summer after I graduated. After our son was born, things began to change for the worse. Psychological torture is insidious, and it's a cycle. And Melanie, I'm not putting this all on him, because I co-created that cycle. Mm. It grows little by little.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah. And yet, like, I just didn't know any better at the time. And it grew little by little as I stayed and he saw how far he could push. It was a cycle, though. And you get this cognitive dissonance. How can the person be so nice some of the time, suddenly so cruel, and then so nice again? And I found myself hanging on for the nice times. But my ex blamed me for everything about his life he did not like, and it got worse over time. It seemed impossible to do anything right. He began to rage periodically, always when least expected, at any assortment of myself and the kids. Then he'd hang his head in his hands and demand pity for how hard his life was. Melanie, I would literally freeze, and I'm told dissociate when he did this. He'd typically be very happy and relaxed after one of these episodes. The kids and I would be shell-shocked. When my youngest was two, there was a particularly bad episode. I told him I wanted to leave, and he raged at me that if I left, I'd never see the kids again. And by the way, if I could ask him about this today, he might deny that ever happened, which is part of the confusion, you know? Anyways, I stayed. I told myself I could fix this, I could heal it. And as time went on, I told myself each bad episode would be the last. But the situation grew worse. My health began to suffer. So did my kids. We became isolated. The kids and I became experts at pretending everything was okay in public. We even lied to each other. My kids woke me up, though. My son was in sixth grade, and one day he refused to come home. He ran across the playground to huddle under a fir whose branches touched the ground. I sat with him. He was crying hysterically. He couldn't take the tension between his dad and I or his rages anymore. And that was my first wake-up call. After a time, my son calmed down and we did go home. That night, I gave my ex an ultimatum. I told him I didn't care if it was my fault or if I was imagining it or if I was too sensitive. He could choose. If he chose to keep having rage attacks, I was leaving. That sparked another round of counseling, which was a band-aid for a while. The rages stopped. But I began to realize my ex's rage was all still there. It had just gone underground. Meanwhile, I had begun a little to talk about what was happening at home. At the time, I believed this was all my fault. So I had determined to fix myself. And I worked with conventional Western talk therapy and spiritual healing. Slowly and very dimly, I began to hear I couldn't take responsibility for another's behavior, but I didn't believe it. I also believed I couldn't survive without my ex. Both my kids had allergies by this time. My son had breathing problems and so many food allergies he had a limited diet. As he entered adolescence, he began to fear his own rage, which was growing stronger and stronger. He spent most of his energy battling himself and was tired or sick almost all the time. He was afraid to become a man because he was afraid to become his father. His friendships began to drop away and he began to isolate himself more and more. He's brilliantly intelligent, and that's not just me being a biased mom. He actually tested in sixth grade his reading above the 12th grade level and was advanced in math and science. But he could barely pass his classes in school. My daughter, at age 12, was still sitting in her dad's lap after dinner as if she were still very small. This gave me a nauseous feeling in my stomach. When I would talk to her dad about it, he would brush me off. He liked the attention. My daughter was ultra-focused in school to the point of obsession. She played cello beautifully and performed with a student orchestra. She also practiced martial arts with me and then switched over to aerial dance. She was kind of a control freak overachiever, on lockdown all the time. She also had food allergies, and she felt like she had no friends. By this time, neither kid really wanted to bring anyone from school home. And at home, the kids and I spent our time tiptoeing around their dad while pretending things were normal. I also used to love to entertain and have friends over. All that had stopped.
Understandably.
But, you know, still at this time in public, we were often complimented. We appeared on the outside to have the perfect family. And I remember being almost giddy with relief in public when the ex was acting like a normal guy. But by the summer of 2012, I had finally had enough. My gut was screaming at me to get out, and I had a deep instinct the abuse was going to ratchet up a level to physical violence. unless there was some kind of radical change. The kids again woke me up. I had not realized fully how much they were suffering. I think part of my lingering denial, actually. Each of them came to me one at a time and said they loved me, but they were done. They were leaving home as soon as they possibly could. They couldn't take living with their dad's rages or unpredictable mood swings anymore. And then a day or two later, each came back to me and said, I've thought it over, and I don't want you to get divorced. I had actually been looking into divorce at that time, but I hadn't told anybody, especially not the kids. I hadn't said a word about my research. So I asked each of them why they mentioned this, and they each said they were afraid to be alone with their dad. And that is the moment when the proverbial scales fell from my eyes. I told my ex I needed radical change. He said he'd work on himself, but things actually got worse. Finally, on the fall equinox 2012, the end came. My ex went into acting mean towards our son while pretending he was playing. I called him on it. He ended up in a full-blown hysterical attack, primarily against our children. In that moment, I finally went on battle alert instead of being frozen. I remember watching him, the door, the kids, the phone, ready to call emergency help. That night, the kids and I left. I filed a police report. In the morning, I called my ex in tears, and that was the beginning of our separation. But, you know, Melanie, at that time, I assumed we'd all get counseling, learn healthy ways to interact, and then reconcile. In reality, I never went back to him after that. As time passed, I realized more and more he was not changing, but I was. I knew I could never go back. But there was also tremendous grief and uncertainty.
As there is when you're leaving a narcissist, absolutely. So, Val, by the time that you did leave and you did get out, what state were you in?
Really, really bad. This is going to sound trivial, but most of my hair was gone. And I know
No, it's not trivial. I lost all of my hair too. I know it's a big deal. It's awful. And I know
it's
a lot
awful.
Of
I mean, I loved my hair. I can laugh about
it today. A lot of
today.
People in the community have had that with adrenal fatigue. It's really common.
I was diagnosed with adrenal exhaustion, and I looked really old and haggard. And actually, some of my teeth cracked because I would clench them so hard.
Wow.
Kind of ridiculous, tragic stuff. I suffered panic attacks, and I would wake up at night with my heart racing in a cold sweat. And I also had insomnia. I felt like I could barely function during the day. I had such low blood pressure that I got dizzy and had to be careful how I moved. I had no career and no income of my own. I'd been out of the job market since the late 1990s. I was pretty much afraid of my own shadow. And the person who once was so independent seemed to have been completely broken. It was 2012, and I'd been with the ex for 18 years at that point. So I often felt frozen as if I couldn't function, yet the kids needed me to, so I kept trying. The kids were in terrible shape also. As I mentioned above, my son had tons of food allergies, trouble breathing, and rage. My daughter was locked down, really controlled, overachiever, who periodically melted down and also had food allergies. And she has been able to say more recently that she felt she had to parent her parents. And honestly, that's the worst. The kids and I got worse at first after the separation began also. All three of us realized we had the same fear that my ex would return and things would be even worse than before because he had been challenged. I had a kind of irrational terror that I would die. And I want to clarify, actually, this was not, I didn't think he was going to do something. It was completely irrational. And at the time, I couldn't explain it, but it was very real.
Yeah, it's dread. It's just all sorts of crazy dread happens. I totally get that.
Yeah. But, you know, none of my friends or family could really understand this.
Well, until you've gone through it, you can't. You really can't.
Yeah. Yeah, and it adds to your feeling of isolation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I also developed some kind of phobia. I'm going to laugh about this now. This was about the phone and the computer. I couldn't read or answer emails from the ex. I couldn't even open them. This spread to emails from the lawyer, the court, and the mediator. At one point, I had over 2,000 emails in my computer I literally couldn't open or read, and over 20 phone messages I couldn't listen to. Finally, in desperation, I had a friend open and read legal letters to me while I stood there and shook because I couldn't open or read them myself. It took every scrap of courage I could muster just to stand there and listen while my friend read to me. It's kind of weird in
Yeah,
hindsight.
wow. That's, survival programs in our DNA and all sorts of really deep buried stuff can,
Heck yeah.
gosh, it does that, as you know. You know now.
Heck yeah. Heck
Yep.
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, so during the early days of the separation, I get my kids to school and then break down just sobbing and shaking in the car. And again, I was in this state of irrational terror. I dry my tears and go on about my day. I went around the house and put bars along the windowsills so the windows could only open a few inches. I put in a screamer stick on my bed frame where I could grab it easily from bed, and I made sure a few trusted friends knew what was happening and checked in with them regularly. I felt like I was fighting not just for my own survival, but for my kids' survival.
Look, you were having a breakdown. There's no two ways about it, is there?
Yeah, and again, nothing physical did happen. It was kind of irrational, but it was so overwhelmingly powerful.
Yeah, you were having a breakdown.
I guess so.
That's what a breakdown looks like. It's not rational. And also, oh gosh, boy, do I remember those days of
It's
crazy.
a huge relief to
Yeah.
look back on it, you know? It's like, yeah, that happened.
It is. It is, and have no charge connected to it. It's massive when we get to that. So, what things were you trying, Val, at the time in order to cope and heal?
Well, prior to the separation, I had done conventional talk therapy and some spiritual healing. After the separation began, I used meditation, theta healing, more talk therapy, friends' support, and the Kahuna tradition, which was really helpful. I read a lot about emotional abuse and control. I consulted with a woman who writes and speaks about emotional manipulation and control and how to transform away from that paradigm. And I learned a lot, and I'm glad I did all that. But all at you know, at the time, it helped manage my pain, but none of it got me past being a victim. At the insistence of one of my kids' school counselors, I went to a local women's shelter for help. There I actually worked with a domestic abuse counselor, and she was great. That counselor listened and gave me tools to work with for protection, kind of like psychic and emotional and the whole nine yards. While I was working with her, I began to realize what had been going on at home. I Googled trauma bonding and found you, Mel. After that, I began work with a trauma therapist, and I actually thought it would be really simple to detrigger myself and be normal. But my work stretched into months. A year went by and I was better, but really still a mess. For example, I still couldn't read the emails. I was still in victim mode a lot of the time. Now, starting to be able to come up out of the victim mode, but it took constant work, and periodically I backslid into a terror and grief and feel overwhelmed. But as soon as I found your website in late winter of 2013, I started reading all your blogs over and over, and that did begin to provide a lot of relief. I just had to keep reading and rereading everything. I was in trauma therapy by that point and combined the two. Oh, about the time the divorce was final, I ran out of insurance for the trauma therapist. The kids and I felt huge relief in the outcome of the divorce contract and parenting arrangement at first. However, sadly, my relief in the divorce contract was short-lived. Before the ink was dry on the decree, my ex was demanding mediation to change the terms of the parent plan. I began to panic all over again. I felt despair and that I would never really be free. At that point, I was completely broke. I'd spent every penny I could get my hands on, plus gone into thousands of dollars debt to retain the lawyer. And by dragging me into mediation and more legalities, I could be buried in debt so deep I lost everything. Most critical of all, my kids did not feel safe with what he was wanting as a parenting arrangement. He was relentlessly demanding time with them despite their fear and pain from his mood swings and rages, which at that point he was not acknowledging. Fear was crippling me again at a time when I had no choice but to function as a single parent and to figure out how to support myself as well after 20 years out of the professional game.
Yeah, big stuff.
It was big, yeah.
Very big.
At that time, trauma therapy stopped and co-parenting was a nightmare. The ex would not let go of me. He emailed several times a day, and in one day, communication might range from normal courteous to intimidating to outright threatening to normal again, as if nothing had happened. I realized I was still absolutely terrified of him and what he might do next. My PTSD symptoms came back. Simultaneously, I had to be strong for my kids, you know? But yeah, mom's fine. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to pay off debt from the marriage plus legal fees, but was still unemployed. I couldn't do no contact and had to have rather more than the usual modified contract. It was a trade-off I thought I was prepared for and then found out I wasn't. Instead, the deep wounding the kids and I were still suffering was thrown into high relief. That is when I realized I had enough trust in narcissistic abuse recovery program to begin to rely on that. I bought the gold package in the Transforming Family of Origin Wounds program and started with NARP healing modules. On the very same night, I took the free webinar you launched at that time. That was summer of 2014, about a year ago.
So what happened then, Val, after you connected to that resource?
Well, I got to admit this. I don't know if others have felt this way, but I have a horror.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah? Yes. Of anyone messing with your mind, yeah?
Yeah.
That was hard. So it took a lot for me to actually trust the MP3s. But all the blog materials of yours that I read and the Thriver shows I listened to helped me to trust NARP enough to try it. So dear friends had invited the kids and I to visit them in Chicago that summer.
Would have thought that you'd be a Thriver? Like at that time when you were listening to Thriver shows and stuff, did you?
I know, right? No, I was like, we're kind of in survival mode.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that was summer 2014.
Yeah, not very long ago. Yeah, it's amazing. So when we went to Chicago, I knew I was going to have to face mediation as soon as we got back. So I brought NARP with me, and I began doing NARP healing modules at dawn down by the lakeshore each morning that I was in Chicago. And it was beautiful. Green leaves were singing and the water was flowing. Just being there was deeply healing and strengthening. And I repeated the early modules a lot, and my inner guidance started getting stronger, a lot stronger. I had a really clear feeling that if I made it through module 4 before the mediation, I'd be okay. And the relief was amazing. Each module, especially the first few, I felt noticeably stronger and calmer. The terrible pressure and PTSD began to ease. I began to sleep at night. The fear shrank back. I was able to really cherish being with my dear friends. Once I started doing the modules, I could spend time on a module and then set it aside and feel I was functioning and enjoying other aspects of life. I just want to say that's huge. When I returned to Colorado and met with the mediator, I was actually able to hold my own, to speak up with my own voice. And the ex actually began to come a bit unglued then. And the mediator supported the parent plan to remain as it was written. Throughout 2014, I worked through the 10 NARP modules, repeating each until I felt ready to move on. I repeated 10 several times because it gives me such joy and peace. I also repeated some of the others a lot. I worked the forgiveness module a lot, and also the one for letting go of any fear of what might happen next. And even though I had done trauma work with a great local counselor and used my own spiritual tools, what made a huge difference was the NARP work of moving into the vision of what you want by clearing your wounds that are blocking it. That was so deeply healing and empowering. So I worked a miracle with all of this. Default parenting arrangement in the state I live in is 50-50 shared custody. Even in the case where one parent is a criminal or drug user, there is shared custody and visitation. And on paper, my kid's dad looks really, really great. On a good day, he is really great. But I achieved my kids living with me full time until they feel safe with their dad. This was their only request out of the divorce. I believe your program gave me the tools to achieve this. Without your work, even with my other knowledge, tools, healing, and training, I don't believe I could have achieved this. I have been able to protect my kids, despite once being completely terrified of my ex and completely financially dependent on him. NARP helped me do this.
So what happened then, Val, when you got on to those resources? After you did the webinar and after you got on to NARP, what happened?
Well, I don't know if others have felt this way, but I personally have a horror of anyone messing with my mind. So it took a lot for me to trust the MP3s. And Mel, all the blog materials I read and the Thriver shows I listened to helped me to trust NARP enough to try it. Dear friends had invited the kids and I to visit them in Chicago that summer. So we hopped on the train and went. I took NARP with me. I had to go into mediation with the ex about the parenting situation as soon as I returned to Colorado. So I began the NARP healing modules at dawn, down by the lake shore, every morning that I was in Chicago. With green leaves singing, the water flowing, just being there was deeply healing and strengthening. I repeated the early modules a lot, and my inner guidance started getting stronger, a lot stronger. I felt if I made it through module 4 before the mediation, I'd be okay. The relief was amazing. Each module, especially the first few, I felt noticeably stronger and calmer. The terrible pressure and PTSD began to ease. I began to sleep at night. The fear shrank back. I was able to really cherish being with my dear friends. Once I started doing the modules, I could spend time on the module and then set it aside and feel I was functioning and enjoying other aspects of life. When I returned to Colorado and met with the mediator, I was actually able to hold my own, to speak up with my own voice. The ex began to come a bit unglued, and the mediator supported the parent plan to remain as written. Throughout 2014, I worked through the 10 NARP modules, repeating each until I felt ready to move on. I repeated 10 several times because it gives me such joy and peace. I also repeated some of the others a lot. I worked the forgiveness module a lot, and also the one for letting go of any fear of what might happen next. Even though I had done trauma work with a great local counselor and used my own spiritual tools, what made a huge difference was the NARP work of moving into the vision of what you want by clearing your wounds that are blocking it. This was so deeply healing and empowering. I worked a miracle with all this. Default parenting arrangement in the state I live in is 50-50 shared custody. Even in the case where one parent is a criminal or drug user, there is shared custody and visitation. And on paper, my kid's dad looks really...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, even people that might be classified with multiple personality disorders, and they can still be awarded, you know, 50% custody.
Yes. Crazy. Yes. Well, I'm not prepared to debate how crazy it may or may not be. But in this case, my kids needed something different. And they got it. So I achieved my kids living with me full time until they feel safe with their dad. This was their only request out of the divorce. And I believe your program gave me the tools to achieve this. Without your work, even with my other knowledge, tools, healing, and training, I do not believe I could have achieved this. I have been able to protect my kids despite once being completely terrified of my ex and completely financially dependent on him. NARP helped me do this.
And it's true. It's energetic. You know, when we release the fear and when we get aligned with our beliefs and what we want and we clear the path within us for it to unfold, miracles happen. Okay, so things that we never believed could happen, like they happen. So tell us, share about the career that you've been able to get started, Val.
Still a work in progress. I began to function in life again. In addition to supporting the kids and myself to really fully heal, I started to lay the foundation to rebuild a career. During late summer and fall of 2014, I secured part-time work with a contractor. This is a huge boon because for women in architecture, which is the field I trained in before staying home with kids, construction is an area often hard to get experience in. I've networked with professionals and engaged in informational interviews. And to be part-time, as I felt the kids still needed me on deck a lot at that time, it began to appear I would need to work for myself. And knowledge and tools began to come to me to support this. So in January of 2015, I started a business with one paying client for an architectural design project. I found studio space to share with other artists in the town where my kids go to school. And this is important because we live up in the mountains. So having a space to work in down in town and other artists to share inspiration with is really important. There are so many other things of joy that I have also connected to now. I've been catching up on 20 years worth of technology. I've learned to Skype. Thank you, Harry. You rock. And Facebook. I've taken it to
Still love hearing that. Still love that.
Well, he's awesome.
He's very good. He's so
good.
He is awesome.
Yeah. He made it seem like it was perfectly fine not to
For
know
those
how to
of you
do
who
it.
Don't know, Harry is the support staff. He's support@melanietonyaevans.com, and he helps so many people with technology who, you know, have really struggled to get it happening. He's so good.
I needed a lot of help.
He helps everybody download NARP, and we've got Clary working with him now too, and she's doing a wonderful job with support as well. So,
fantastic.
Okay, carry on.
Well, so I've taken tutorials on using computer building information modeling, which in the industry now is referred to as BIM, and begun to develop a website. I have been working on renderings, and my drawing skills have improved again. My goals are to make gorgeous renderings of buildings the old-fashioned way by hand, and then to combine the best of the old with the new by selective computer use in both building and design processes. There's a niche for this if I can be the one to tap into it. I'm also writing again, which I love, and just need to figure out how to publish, you know, these days, because it's a little different than it was 20 years ago. So, yeah, writing was something else that I lost during, you know, during my time with the ex, and it's been 20 years since I published anything. So, and I play music, another love I had set aside. I have a Celtic harp, and I've gigged with my harp in coffee shops, occasionally at events, and with other musicians, and it is a great joy. I study ancient music for its beauty and healing properties, combining that with vocals. And a gig is a success when a baby in the audience stops crying and a grown man starts crying, and that has been happening.
Oh, I love that.
I know. It's
I love that. That's so
it's
beautiful.
Really cool. I play out, and it's the ancient music, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful and it moves people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it does. I'd love to hear it. You'll have to send me a recording of it. I would love to hear it.
I'd love to play for you. I have friends and family around the country that want to hear also, so that's on my bucket list to figure out how to do a recording. I'll let you know.
Beautiful, gorgeous. I'd love to hear it. Thank you.
When I think how much has shifted in the past year, I am just absolutely amazed and so thankful. But I'm very much still a work in progress. But Melanie, this is the first summer in literally years that I have not been afraid. I have a sense that I will be fine. I can't tell you how good that feels. And I'm happy most of the time and love life. And the nicest people are appearing in my life. I feel free.
You know, Val, you can hear the passion in me. You can feel it in your soul and your emotions. And it's that rebirth, you know, when we get through the abuse and we get through the wounding and we start, and it's like, you know, everything that we weren't gets burned away and just gets, and what's left is our true self starts coming through. And I can hear it in you and see it in you, and it's really beautiful. It's so weird. So I'm so thrilled about all of that for you, Val. So, you know, let's connect the dots, okay? Because what was all of this journey about for you? What were the inner programs that you needed to heal and liberate yourself from?
Yeah, so much. This is really heavy. I would have said before all this happened, I was the least likely to ever suffer abuse in any way. And now when I consider the history, it all makes complete sense. My parents were really awesome. They were deeply in love with each other and loving and supportive of us kids. They were also wounded, as most of us alive today are, from both generational stuff and life events. I inherited that wounding along with beauty, the arts, love of knowledge and adventure. One of the critical pieces of wounding occurred when I was very small. I was sent off to a church preschool and actually became one of many, many kids to be messed with by the church, in this case a minister. But when my family was torn apart by this knowledge of what had happened and had no help in what to do next except to pretend it never happened, that really set me up down the road for trouble. The church abuse had caused my...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this was decades ago, and people didn't know how to handle it. And so they would say, oh, she's young,
that's
she'll
right.
forget.
I didn't.
But you don't.
Yeah,
it goes
that's
in there
right.
somewhere.
Exactly.
Your body remembers. Your mind forgets, but your body
sure.
remembers. Yeah. And the church abuse had caused my dad to really freak out, and I was so young, I took it as my fault that he was angry. And I internalized the message that if I tell the truth to save myself, the people I most love and need will stop loving me, and I'll be abandoned and die. I actually picked up the phone in this creep's office and called the operator, which my mom had taught me to do if I was ever in trouble. And I can vividly remember it. It all came back. So I actually saved myself because the police actually came. The operator actually sent police, and that in and of itself was miraculous at that time. But then when my family reacted the way they did, I took this very different message, and that belief set me up to hide the abuse when it started happening. And I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
Growing up
yeah.
in school, I was an excellent student and actually loved learning all the way through. And this helped me secure scholarships to college and academics and arts. But by that point, I was drifting along pleasing people with those good grades. And even though I loved knowledge, school didn't actually mean much. I felt disconnected. And I really wanted to be liked, which was easy, superficially, because all I had to do was wear a mask. But inside, I always felt less than. And my parents were overprotective, my dad especially. So I was quite sheltered through high school in certain ways. So it was kind of the perfect stew. I actually abandoned college after 2 years to go work with horses, which were my first love. But at age 19, while jumping a horse who had, you know, shall we say, a slight bucking problem, I got thrown and trampled. I still love horses, and I had hoped to compete internationally. Instead, at age 20, I learned to walk again. When I was well enough, I went back to school, and there, of all things, I was led to martial arts, which actually healed my body almost back to normal. So it's kind of an unusual pathway for that time and place. And I'm going to say this next part, kids never do this. I was really, really stupid, but so don't do this. But after about 5 years of kung fu training, I began to test my skill in alleys and along the lakefront, kind of modern mixed martial arts and cage fighting minus the cage. The system I studied was traditional, and by that point, I had worked up to full contact. I wanted to see how good I was. It was really dumb, but I did it. And honestly, I don't think I really cared much in those days whether I lived or died, although I would not have said so back then. It was almost a death wish, and certainly I was an adrenaline junkie. During this
wow.
time...
Wow. So were there other kids, like, doing that as well? Like, who were you fighting?
Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Wow. It was kind of a wild time. This was in the 1980s, and martial arts was not yeah. that common in this country. I had trained in New York, and I moved to Chicago, and I thought of myself as a beginner, and I was shocked at the crummy schools I was visiting. And there were a lot of students, like 95, 99% of them were men, who were moving around between schools, and some of them were very good. And so I started inviting the ones that looked really good to have matches, like in alleys or the lakefront, or if it was the instructor of a school and they were willing to do this, basically when the school was empty so nobody would watch, right? And I wanted to see how good I was. And when I would win, I would just keep moving, but when I would lose, I would stay and train with that person for a while. And then keep moving, and ultimately ended up starting my own school. But children, don't do this.
Yeah.
I was wrong to do.
Yeah.
I was like a weird adrenaline
yeah.
junkie. That's a strange story. I get
oh
it.
My God.
I know it
so
is.
How did you hide your injuries from your parents? Or you didn't? Or they saw them? Or
well, so in the traditional martial art world, there's internal energy that you develop, and that's part of what really healed me. And it creates, this is going to be difficult for some people to believe, but it can create a tangible force around your body. And people who hit that level all know of it. And it's not always taught and it's not always spoken of, but I'm going to lay it out. So I was training in that. I had a Qigong master in Chicago who was working with me for my health, but I tested it. And in those days, I could actually roll across broken glass on an alley without being cut. I've done that, and it sounds impossible. But
crazy stuff.
It's completely
real. But it's not
real.
Impossible. No, it's not.
It's, what it is a discipline.
I totally get that.
Yeah, it's a yes. discipline. You have to do a lot of push-ups, and you have to do a lot of meditation, and you have to have the right training, and it's really not, it's not dishonorable to test your skills, but if you test it as a parlor trick, that's a bad thing to do. But we could digress.
Okay.
I could. If you believe in this stuff, you're one of the few, and I could talk about this a long time because still there's not that many people you talk to about this. But it was a huge part of my
so
life.
So interesting.
It
and
gave
at the
me.
Time, we'll have to have a convo about that. Yeah.
Well,
that
gave me back
my
life.
Stuff.
it gave me back my life, you know, because I've been, I was in pain from my hips to my skull from the riding accident. When I woke up, I had hoof prints on my back and on my chest. And once I was on my feet again, which took a long time, I was in chronic pain. And it's a miracle that I was led to this system, because it's one in a million in this country. It's that rare. And the Chinese man who brought it to this country wants his art to live, so he was willing to teach white people. It's very beautiful, very, for health, you know, for health, it's really powerful. But I still had that self-destruct going on inside me. I still was an adrenaline junkie, so I wasn't really there yet, you know. And it was during this time I noticed a weird split in relationships with men also. I was friends with really great guys, like the men I trained with, and we're all still friends like 30 years later, and our families are friends. But the guys I dated, as one of my friends put it, all had this edge of violence about them. And it's like I was living a double life. I didn't understand it at the time. And then when I was 30 and 31, that span of time, many of my family died, and some of it was completely beyond my control, Mel. Some of the death I blamed myself for. And I thought at that time that as a martial artist with all those skills, I should have been able to save at least some of the ones who died. And I actually swore off training. I swore I'd never train again until I was at peace about that. So again, my life went down in flames, and everything I had built just was wiped out. And what I know from this now, after your work, is that loss made me determined to hold too tightly to the marriage. I was terrified to let go of the idealized picture that I had started living inside during my marriage, and I was absolutely terrified of more loss. And I thought being with my ex would make me whole, if only. And I know now that was deeply unfair to both of us, but again, back then, I wasn't even conscious of this. I didn't even know it was driving me. Whoa. So before I met the ex, and after the trauma of losing my family, I actually, that's when I found architecture, and it combined arts, science, and entrepreneurship. So I pulled up the last of my remaining roots at home with my dear friends and moved across country to study. And by this time, I was in my early 30s and figured, I'm done. I'm bad. I had everything together. I was going to have a career applauded by society. Yeah. With my spiritual knowledge, there was nothing I couldn't handle. I'd seen death up close and personal and lived to tell the tale, right? I was bulletproof. Yeah. Enter my ex. So, and I've heard other people in your forum and so forth talk about this, but it's really big. It makes sense to those of us who have passed through something similar. I felt I had cultivated a lot of strength from martial arts and meditation. Also, I fearlessly rode a large motorcycle all over North America alone. It was really fun. You know, and I, all the fighting, all of that, you know, put that together with the total lack of knowledge of what verbal or emotional abuse are, and I was perfect cannon fodder. You know, I was strong enough to clean up almost any mess, codependent enough to stay, and at least at that time for a while, equipped with enough beauty to be, you know, arm candy. So, you know, it wasn't until I did NARP and tracked wounding back through my body to its origins that I was able to have these connections become clear. And then when these wounds cleared, I mean, when they began to clear, I felt so different. And, you know, life started reflecting back to me the changes. And this is wonderful. This is powerful. Yeah.
Yes. You know, you're so true. That is so right about the codependent model. Like, we are so strong. And then we get, well, we think, you know, and then we get into these relationships and we think, you know, I can handle this. And it's interesting, you know, people that that aren't that strong, they're actually the ones that go, you know what, I can't do this. I've got to get out. This is destroying my soul. But, you know, the tough fighters, who think they can solve everything. Such a problem with codependency. I can fix this, I can fix this. It never kills us. So
yes.
What else has happened since doing, yeah, oh boy, do we know that. So what else has happened since doing the inner work, Val?
Oh, put simply, I love myself. I love my kids. I focus on living well with honor and joy. And I feel safe. Life is opening before me like this new leaf that's unfolding. And I like being alone. You know, men are awesome, but I don't actually need to be with one. And I'm so utterly grateful.
Yeah.
And, you know, this might sound odd, but I'm hugely grateful my ex came into my life. You know, the wounding that he carried caused him to target my wounding with this laser-like focus. And I don't know that he was even conscious of doing that. And I probably did it back to him, you know. But honestly, if it had not been him, it would have been someone else because of how I was so unconscious. And the situation could actually have been far, far worse. So, you know, in a way, it's thanks to him and that relationship that I'm free now. This stuff had been buried so deeply. I think it took something that extreme to shake it loose, to make me look at myself.
Absolutely. And that's what narcissists do. And, you know, amen to that. I'm so grateful, too. And when we do this journey from inside out, it all becomes so, so clear. So what's the ongoing status with your children and with him now? What's happening with them?
Well, the divorce contract is really unusual. The kids don't have set visitation schedule with their dad. My intent with writing that was and still is that they feel safe, and then they have an open door to build healthy relationship with him without having to go back to court. And I believe this can happen. But this has meant that in order to honor this agreement, I have to remain in reasonable contact with him, and that has forced me to keep growing. So, happily, our contact now is really around the kids or other necessary communication around lingering property that has not yet been separated. And as I did more and more healing modules and came to fear him less and less, oddly enough, he grew more distant. And of course, that strengthened my sense of peace. And I wish him well, you know, just from a safe distance, but I really wish him well. And that feels good, you know, it's peaceful and liberating. And, well, I'll share this. Just a few days ago, I called him regarding one of the kids, and we had a really kind, courteous conversation. And just at the close of our communication, a woman wandered into earshot at his end. And, you know, I don't think I'm off to mark to say, you know, they were pretty close. And while I was still on the phone, he asked her if she was ready to go. And she said no. And he demanded, why not? With the very same anger and control in his voice he used to direct towards me. And I had to get off the phone really fast before I started laughing. And as one dear friend put it, free at last. And it's actually hard to put into words the joy and the elation and the freedom I feel now. And I don't see how I could have achieved this without NARP, Mel. I don't see how I could have. Thank you for NARP.
Oh, how gorgeous that you can feel that now. And, you know, she's going through her journey now. This
oh, yeah.
You know, her time to, she's doing her soul evolution with him. And but isn't it great when you can look at it and go, oh, I'm so glad that's not me. You know, that's not me anymore.
Well, and it was such a pleasure that we could speak calmly and courteously. And, you know, that's the hope for the future, you know, more of that. And, you know, if I'm in that category.
Well, that's it. And now that you've got no matching, now that you've got no matching inner wounds, he can't do that whole NS exchange with you anymore. And that's what happens. You know, they have to take the rubbish somewhere else.
Wow.
Perfect. So let's talk about, because this part excites me, I love this, I'm so passionate about this. So as a result of you healing, Val, what impact has it had, they've had with your children.
This is huge. So I mentioned before, by the time my ex and I separated, both kids were struggling badly. My son had tried to shut off his feelings. He had tremendous rage, which he hid behind a mask of calm courtesy. And people who did not know him very well thought he was easygoing because that was his mask. He had so many food allergies, his diet was limited. He had developed breathing problems, and the docs described him as asthmatic. And he'd been in the emergency room several times for breathing problems. He feared and distrusted men, including even boys in high school his own age. And he was tired all the time and frequently sick with cold and flus and other bugs. Even though when my son entered sixth grade and he tested academically so high, I mean, sixth grade reading above the 12th grade level, it was kind of incredible. And he was also advanced in math and science, and yet he could barely pass his classes, and his grades were often so low he came really close to failing. And it makes sense now. I mean, he didn't feel safe, and so his ability to learn was gone, you know. But at the time, I was just pulling what was left of my hair out. My daughter was an uber control freak regarding herself. She was a straight-A student who spent hours studying at night, played orchestra, you know, played cello in an orchestra, and she trained kung fu with me and was really good. She was gifted in these things, but she kept her feelings locked inside, and she was developing the same concrete bunker around her spirit and soul that her dad had. And, you know, I found out that the despair she felt inside was so great that she actually struggled with suicidal thoughts. And that's got to be my worst nightmare as a parent, even than any of these other things. It's terrifying. Both kids felt they had no friends at school, and they felt completely unsupported by either parent. Their dad raged unpredictably, and I, of all people, would freeze when he did. And they've been able to articulate to me more recently that they actually felt I was hiding behind them. So they were completely unsupported. Mm. When I worked the miracle with the parent plan in the divorce contract, and the kids heard the outcome from court, they both actually literally collapsed with relief. However, they were far from healed at that point, and even a phone call from their dad would freeze them, and we could all barely communicate with each other. So I began to recover first as I engaged my own healing process and started feeling better. At first, I actually couldn't understand why they were still struggling so much. And then I started to engage and invite them more into open communication, and they began to be able to articulate more what they were feeling. And at first, you know, they, like, if one of us raised our voice, all three of us would just freeze like rabbits, you know. And then we began to get over that. Mm. And, you know, I kind of joke with my kids that I'm one of the few parents around who actually likes it when they argue and talk back. But I do.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, because they're awesome kids, but it's healthy to... to stick up for yourself, right? Anyways.
Totally.
And, you know, and it's awesome now, actually, that one of my fond childhood memories with my dad was these knockdown, rip-roaring arguments. We would debate all kinds of things. And he used to win because he had a trained voice, because, among other things, he was a singer. And it was at the time, it was really unfair, but he'd talk over me, and he'd win. But my kids and I have those same kind of arguments now. It's awesome. And we feel safe to do it. You know, it's great.
So, yeah, how good to have a voice.
Yes.
And to be valid.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. Perfect.
So I started working with Module 11 in NARP. And I really began, as I got better... I really began to focus on how I could help them because we weren't at this point yet. They were still really suffering and struggling. And I kept using Module 11 to clear every bit of resistance I could find in myself to be in a place of complete faith in my kids' ability to find their own healing pathway. And since I've been doing that, amazing and wonderful things have been happening. So this is huge. My son is healthy. He has no more breathing problems, no food allergies. He's hardly ever sick, maybe once or twice a year, no big deal, right? He also began to realize some of his PTS triggers and that they were handicapping him. And he chose to begin working with a trauma therapist to release those triggers. And I really, if you don't mind, I would love to read an excerpt from an email I sent you because this is mind-blowing and I wrote it right in the moment when this had happened. So is that okay?
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'd love you to. Beautiful.
This is not that long ago either, which, I mean, this is how fast the trigger stuff is happening. So it was July 4th. I had listened to the Father's Day show you did several times and used Mod 11 to clear my own stuff around my son. Within 2 days, he had decided to work with a trauma counselor to get rid of PTSD triggers. He is changing from victim mentality and angry to I'll do whatever it takes to heal and live a great life in front of my eyes. He gave full permission to have me work on him by proxy, and I'm trusting what comes up. So my process for doing that session was lengthy, like I spent a week preparing for it because I wanted to be really clear about what I asked for. So I meditated and I asked for intuitive guidance and all this stuff. And then I went into the session and it took about 3 hours. Within hours after I came out of the session, he looked at me with hope and wonder in his eyes. 2 days later, he had decided to start facing his fears and working on himself.
Yeah, that's huge. And I can hear the emotion in your voice. That's how I feel about, you know, even to this day when I talk to people about Zach and the amazing transformation he had because I worked on him in my own body to do the same thing, to get to faith and knowing and releasing my fears about him. And when he turned the corner from total self-annihilation, he turned the corner, just 180-degree turn. And I know it wasn't a coincidence. And to this day, I have to fight back the tears when I talk to people about that.
No, you're so thankful.
I know as parents, this is why I'm so passionate about this work, you know.
And you're just so thankful.
And I know you're feeling it too. It's just huge.
Yeah.
Oh, words can't even describe. They just can't.
It's so beautiful. And, you know, my son chose a male counselor specifically to face his fears. He wants to get rid of the fear and distrust he's felt of men. And even walking in this man's office as like as a male counselor, even walking in his office was a huge fear. And my son chose to do it because he said, I'm going to be free. It's just huge. And he was just able to travel with a school group to Central America where they had a blast. They explored Mayan ruins and had a bunch of adventures. And you know, a year ago he could never have done this. And I mean, he's perfectly healthy. He can eat anything, all of it. He's just great. And on this trip he made friends with fellow travelers and he loved being on his own. And he had also got to the point where he didn't want anyone to touch him, right? He didn't like to be touched. But he's starting to appreciate that again and human contact. And, you know, he's been spotted hugging the occasional family member as well as some of his friends. So he's growing into an awesome young man. And the other thing, this did not happen overnight, but as I was doing NARP, his grades in school went steadily up. And he made the comment at the end of this last school year, and of course I'd been working NARP since, you know, for a year now, right? So he made the comment that it was really easy to pull good grades in school this last year. And he also took national exams for college and scored in the, you know, 90th plus percentile nationwide, which means colleges are now asking him to apply. And that's such a huge change from where he was a few years ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's awesome. So I feel like he's getting comfortable in his own skin, and he's moving into his own power as a young man who will grow into an awesome man, you know? So thank you.
Absolutely.
My daughter is also doing much better. She's created a circle of friends and is actually more relaxed about school. And I may be the only parent in history to want their kid to take it easy, but in her case, it's a great thing. So, you know, she ditched Kung Fu with me in favor of aerial dance. So my daughter is an aerialist. And she won a spot in the student company at her school and loves it. And that school emphasizes teamwork and teaches the girls who take class there that strong is beautiful. And my daughter has excellent mentorship there. And so knowing it was such a great thing, we really wanted her there, but I couldn't afford the training that she needed to stay with the company. So then she won a job working at the school to help pay for her training. So I get choked up about that too, you know. She's choosing to do what she loves, and she's willing to work for it. And she's,
brilliant.
So now she has set limits for herself, and at this time she's not seeing her dad, which, you know, kind of her own version of no contact. And she had to do this to pull herself back from the extreme despair she had been feeling. And she's working with a counselor who's backing her on this. So what she has found, and my son also in point of fact, is that she and her brother, when they spoke their truth out loud, that people outside the family listened and have their back. I mean, they spoke their truth to the mediator, to their counselors, and what they're experiencing is being heard and being supported. And what a powerful healing life lesson.
It is powerful. That is huge.
It's really huge. So, and I'm holding space, Melanie, for the kids to know forgiveness, to honor and love oneself with divine connection, but to forgive self and to forgive others. And
absolutely.
You know,
Yeah, and you know what? That judgment victim model is so damaging for kids. And to teach them that is just so damaging. So I love that you're modeling that. That's beautiful.
We talk about forgiveness, you know, and that you don't forgive the other person so that you can get knocked around again. You actually forgive the other person so that you're free to move on. And they get that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're working with it. Their experience was different than mine. I think it was tougher because I have the memory of my parents and they only have the memory of their dad and me, you know, but they're working on it. They'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be their journey.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy,
I love that too. It's
so much to be thankful for.
It is their journey.
You know, the most amazing
thing. Is there any? So is there anything, Val, that you'd like to share as your final message with the listeners?
Oh, final message. Oh, good. Yeah. I was shattered, just devastated, just a mess. But now I'm free, and I'm happy. And that hell of loneliness and terror I used to live, it's over. I'm just free of it. Like, I know it happened, but, it's done. And I can talk with the ex when needed, like, no big deal, and I'm hugely grateful for that. Yeah. I have faith, and I feel faith in myself, in the world, in the goodness of my fellow humans. And I really do feel gratitude and compassion to my ex, because I think that wounding I carried was so deeply buried, I'm not sure anything less would have shaken it loose. So, yeah, a lot to be grateful for. I think when I met him, I was only really half alive, and that's just a shame. It's the world is so beautiful, and to really be here and to really feel it is a gift. So I'm grateful I was pushed to grow. Yeah. And if I can get to this place, anyone can. Just saying. And for people who might be considering NARP, I would strongly suggest as well, get involved in the private NARP forum that comes with the gold membership. There is an entire community of caring, wise, and compassionate people there. And it's inspiring and it's so helpful. And I'm so grateful the forum exists. Night or day, if you have a question or need help with something, there will be someone there. You can share what you've learned to help someone else with their healing. And you can get really amazing and helpful guidance and support. And we talked about this before, but a lot of times people who haven't been through something like this just can't get it. And why should they? You know, it's like, it's incredible. It's like unbelievable from the outside until you live it. In the NARP forum, everyone has lived it, and they're all coming out the other side. So, like, sometimes you hear people just complain and, you know, they vent, but they never get better, right? They keep running into the same trouble over and over again. Mm. And I haven't been to those forums. I've heard about them, but I've seen people like that in life a lot. And this forum is the exact opposite. Mm. It's just beautiful. It's amazing. You know, it's people helping each other to get to a fantastically better place in life. So I love it. And finally, I would say, have the courage to listen to your emotions. They always guide. Trust that inner voice calling you to something greater. And everyone who's listening, if you haven't tried it, use Mel's program. It works and it's safe. I believe personally divine love heals and it is our birthright. And you will find your way home to divine love of self and other if you choose it. Don't ever give up. Your kids will be safe. Love is stronger than fear, stronger than death. Love is life and trust. And you are not alone. And your kids are not alone. You can do this. We can all live free in beauty. You and all of us deserve this. And our kids deserve this beauty.
Donald, that was just so beautifully put, and, you know, your story is amazing, and it's so amazing for, you know, people in the community that have been in long-term relationships, and they didn't have a career, and they didn't have capacity to go on, and they were feeling really intimidated and really fearful for their kids. You know, you did it. You did the work. You really broke through, and I think you're just such a living example of, you know, someone who, like the codependent side of us, we can be strong and capable and we think we've got it sorted and you've come from being independent before all this happened to you. But then we get that fear on our butts, you know, feeling so helpless and powerless, and you did it. You did the inner work. You transformed and it transformed your life. And I'm just so happy for you, and, you know, you should be so proud of yourself. And, you know, what you've done for your kids and for their future generations, that's the stuff that's going to change our world.
I think so, too. And, you know, I feel a sense of accomplishment to have come this far, but there's a journey yet to go. I mean, you know, I have my goals to achieve in the professional world, and, you know, I have to show up and do that next. So I've started. And mostly what I feel, Mel, is gratitude.
Beautiful.
Gratitude. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. And it's just gorgeous when we get gratitude for life. We just feel so grateful and such a beauty of being alive and such a joy of the journey and the growth. And that's what living is meant to be, not the torture of narcissistic abuse. But, you know, God thank that for getting us to a place of burning off all the parts of us that aren't really us to get to the truth of us and bring that forth. So, Val, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's just been an absolute joy having you on, and thank you for staying up late and doing this show with me. I really appreciate it, my love. Thank you.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. And, Could I just say that it doesn't even have to be narcissistic abuse? It can be any abuse. It doesn't matter because the story is not about the other person. It's about you. It always was. But we're not taught that when we're little, you know? So it doesn't matter what it is that you're experiencing. You can change yourself and find joy.
Perfect message. All right, my love. Good night, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, so everybody, I hope that you've enjoyed that show, and you can see the transcript of the show, which is on blog.melanietonyaevans.com. And also, too, for those of you that are thinking about NARC, I would really love you to come into the next free webinar with me so that you can get the sample quantum freedom healing for yourself, and especially people that are really dealing with, you know, the horrendous power stuff that Val and so many of the other thrivers have been through, to learn how to really transcend and really change your life from the inside out. Because when we're trying to combat narcissists, we're doing, and we haven't changed our being. No amount of doing can change the state of our shattered being. It just doesn't work. So you can find out more about the webinar by going to melanietoniaevans.com/free webinar, which is the one word. So again, that's melanietoniaevans.com/free webinar. The details will be on the blog as well, and I would love you to join me in that next Tuesday. So that's it from me, everybody, and lots of love, and I'll be back next week, and bye-bye.